Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Welcome and thank you for listening. This is Jason and I'm your host. Genesis 1:26 tells us that God made us in his image and gave us dominion over the earth. But what does that really mean? In this episode, I have the privilege of speaking with a very powerful and godly woman out there blazing trails for the kingdom of God. Shayna Rattler Davis is a minister, author, and speaker featured in over 450 media outlets, and she's gifted us with her time to talk about the war over identity and authority over the truth. And she's here to help us better understand what's behind Genesis 1:26. She is the founder of A God Shift, which offers Christian leadership principles through a variety of mediums, from live events, podcast shows, social media content, and so on. You can find more about her at her website, agodshift.com. And she has a free quiz for women believers, kingdomtrailblazerquiz.com. All of this information and more will be found in the show notes, so please, please go check that out. I hope you're ready to be transformed, because I have a feeling Shane is going to about to light this podcast up today. So welcome, Shayna, and thank you so much for doing this.
Jason, I'm happy to be here. I hope I live up to your expectations.
I think you'll exceed them. You're amazing.
Thank you.
So I love doing my homework on guests. And we were actually talking about this just a second ago, but when I Googled your name, you're everywhere. I think The first two or three pages of search results were like 100% you. It is quite amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been in this game a long time.
Nice. That's great. And I think one of the things that stood out was actually an article I found in Canvas Rebel. I don't know if you recall that one. They asked you a question about a risk you took, and you told this great story about submitting an article to a well-known publication, but refusing to remove references to God in it. And this article ran with a huge amount of success. That one story is a great summary of like who you are. You're this transformative person. You love God. You're willing to be uncompromising in your faith. I mean, does that sound right? Do I have it?
It does sound right. And for those of us that are in the faith-based space, it's a common challenge that we have. You know, I get pitched. I have people who pitch me, and I get pitched to do a lot of things. But in many of the mainstream outlets, they want me to universalize my conversation. And I'm not willing to give power to the universe. I'm not willing to talk about source. I'm not willing to say, or whatever you believe in. Like, the name of my ministry is A God Shift for a reason. And I'm also not willing to just make my conversation about purpose. They always want to put me like in this little box. And I'm not willing to do that. And so I usually tell them, like, we're either not going to play at all, or this is the only way that I'm willing to play. And I recognize that for many of the people that are the decision makers, like, they can't afford to have a career limiting move. But this particular person was like, I don't think I'll get fired. Like, I might get yelled at, but I don't think I'll get fired. And so, like, let's just see what happens. And, you know, the article was a tremendous success in terms of the people that read it were blessed. But I also hope that it showed that publication, to be honest with you, it was the Houston Chronicle or something like that. I hope that it opened the door for them to recognize that they don't have to be as closed off in what it is that they present to their audience, because their audience actually appreciated, you know, the content that they put out there. It describes me. I'm a risk taker. I'll jump and then figure out if I have a parachute later. I don't even know if the parachute's going to open. I'll figure it out later.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you're out there doing this kind of work. It's scary for some people. I mean, it's just scary to admit you're a Christian for some people, and for you to take that next step to be like, no, I don't care if my career depends on this. I am not going to compromise my God position. That's just not going to happen. It's great.
You've got to be clear on what it is that God called you to do. And God didn't call me to water down my assignment, and I'm just not willing to do that. And I recognize that I'm not for everyone, and my assignment is not for all places and spaces. And for those that don't want to play by the rules that God gave me, it's not just me being difficult, but those that don't want to play by the rules that God gave me, then that just means that that's not somewhere that my voice is supposed to be. And I just don't worry about it.
Great. That's great. I love it. I do like giving my listeners the opportunity to learn more about my guests. So let's just throw it out there. What else do we need to know about Shana?
So I just got married 3 weeks ago at the time of this recording. So most of what you will find about me, when Jason said he Googled me, he Googled Shana Rattler. I've been Shana Rattler for 46 and a half years, and now I'm Shana Davis. And so I got married about 3 weeks ago, and I'm excited about that. I'm really interested to see, obviously he was in ministry before we married. I was in ministry before we married, and now, we have ministry aspirations of what we will do together. And so I really look forward to, fast forwarding a year from now and just seeing all the great ways that, God has used us in the way that we will just advance his kingdom for the better.
That is so exciting. Congratulations. I didn't know he was a minister. I knew you were getting married, but that's amazing. You guys are going to just conquer the world for God. It's great.
we're excited. We're excited. And I said in an interview a couple of months ago, the devil should have stopped me while he could, because if you guys think I was powerful by myself, like, this man of God is so powerful on his own, and the two of us together are really going to be lethal.
That's amazing. I'm excited. But
thank you.
As I mentioned in the intro, you founded A God Shift. We've talked about it a little bit. Tell us more about this amazing creation you've done.
Yeah. So I think it's helpful to first start by just even talking about what A God Shift is. So, my ministry is called A God Shift, as is my social media, as is my podcast. And so people hear that and they think that's a really cool name. But the reality is that I made it up. I defined it. So nobody really knows what it means. And so my definition of a God shift is when your influence and authority activate somebody to align with the purposes of God, but it doesn't stop there. It also mobilize other people to do the same thing. And I think that for the space and time that I'm in right now, I'm really, really passionate about helping individuals to understand the influence and authority that they have and how they can use that in order to really restore chaos in the culture that we're in and return the world back to God's original purposes, because we've gotten so far away from that. And I think what's important to note is that for those of you that are like, okay, I can tune out because I don't have the same level of influence and authority that Shana and Jason have, you have influence and authority somewhere, even if it's only over the people that are under your roof or, in your family or in your home or, on your job. We all have some level of influence and authority somewhere in our lives, whether you have a quote unquote platform or not, that we can use that to really take a stand for what it is that we believe in order to really kind of change a lot of the craziness that, for lack of a better word, we're seeing in our world right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of craziness out there. Okay, so, God Shift is kind of building that momentum. It's taking that unrelenting faith and just showering people with it and getting them motivated. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it is. And there is a rising trend of opposition to God in our schools, in our homes, in our world. We are living out the scripture that says that there'll be a time where good is called evil and evil is called good. It seems that the further away from God it is, the more we gravitate to it as a world. And it's just getting further and further and further out there as the days go on. And there are many people like myself that are like, no, enough is enough, not on my watch. And I want to do everything that I can to change the course of history. And so that's really what I stand for, is helping people to understand, how do you do that? How do you get people to see things the way that you think that they should be seen? And how do you change behaviors? How do you change the course of history and do it all for, you know, for the glory of God? And so I'm just really passionate about that. And, that's what we do over here.
That's great. What led you to be that? Like, was there a defining moment in your life? Did you just kind of fall into this, or was there something that just, you had enough and you stepped in it?
Well, every September, the Lord usually speaks to me about assignment. And September of 2023, he said to me, because a God shift for many years was really helping people to overcome adversity in like a godly way. And in September of last year, the Lord said to me, you know, since you've been in ministry, you've been helping people to overcome, but I now want you to help overcome principalities. And I was like, I don't even know what the heck that means. And well, I know what principalities are, but I didn't know what he meant in the context of like, now that's what my assignment is. And he said, I'm calling you to raise up an army of women that will recover and restore what is out of place. And I, number one, didn't want to do it. I've never wanted to only work with one group of people. I've always tried very hard, even when I was in business, to not be for just one gender or just one race or just one whatever. And so I fought really hard on like, I don't want to focus just on women. And I don't even know what the heck this means to raise up an army of them. Like, and why me? Like, why do I have to do this? You know? So I threw my toddler tantrum for about 3 or 4 minutes, like I always do. And then I got fired up about it. And I said, well, obviously this is what you're asking me to do. And you know, from experience that I'll be obedient. So let's go. And so I really just started to think about, what does that look like? How do you raise up an army of women? What does this army of women look like? What are they already doing? And so I created this concept. Well, I didn't create the concept, but I adopted this concept of kingdom trailblazers. And a kingdom trailblazer is just that. It's a woman that has said enough is enough, and she wants to put her foot down and she wants to take a stand for righteousness. And so I kind of fell into it because I didn't really want to do it. However, I do know that the Lord gives assignments to those that he can trust to carry it through. And I also believe that the thing that we complain about and the thing that we wish we could change and that we wish would change, oftentimes the reason why we kind of feel that level of conviction is because we're supposed to be part of the solution. And so when I paired together, just getting fed up with what I was seeing around me and what it was that I was sensing that the Lord wanted me to do, I just paired those two things together and just really went off, you know, trying to hit that target of how do I help other women like myself, especially mothers that are like, no, I'm tired of the attack against my children and the stuff that I have to be worried about that's in textbooks and schools and all of the things that we're just seeing that's going on around us at the time of this recording.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's funny, you mentioned something that just struck a chord with me. You know, God will give us things that we don't want. You know, that comes with gifts as well. I have for years and years and years sought to be the guy working in the corner, not being disturbed. And I have a friend of mine who is a dear friend. We've known each other for, we'll say, 20 plus years. You know, after 20 years, it just falls off. You just stop counting, right? And she kept telling me over the years, you know, you're a natural born leader. And I'm like, I just want to do my job.
Yeah.
And she just kept saying it. And every time I would get into a role, somebody be like, well, I need you to take over this. I need you to lead this. I need you to do this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's like, I never wanted any of this. And God's like, yeah, but you're doing it. Right. One way or another, you're going to do it.
And I've equipped you to do it.
Right.
So, which is why everybody sees it on us, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to embrace that. Like I said, I just like to sit in the corner and do my thing, and God's got other plans for me, I guess. So we'll see how that goes, but that's great.
And it's better not to fight it. You know, when I was being called to ministry in 2018, I was the least likely person that he should have been calling, in my opinion. And I think that we have to be willing to say, even though this is not something that I saw for myself or that I didn't think I was qualified to do, I saw, especially in ministry, the negative side effects, if you will, of the people who ran from it. And so I just made a decision in the beginning that it was going to be something that I ran toward instead of something that I ran from. And I think that that's something that we can apply in any area, like yourself. You know, if you really lean in to the fact that you are a leader, you will be able to go so much further and do so much more than you would be if you try to fight it. So it's trying to like, what do they call it when you're trying to swim like against the stream or whatever,
just
swim with the stream and you'll get where you're going much faster than if you try to like swim against it.
Yep. Absolutely. So I didn't mention it. I want to bring it up. Genesis 1:26. You and I had a great conversation. You explained this to me and it made so much sense and I couldn't articulate it if I tried. So would you mind giving us that, giving me that rundown again for the listeners? Just tell us how that works.
So Genesis 1:26 is the anchor scripture for my ministry. And in Genesis 1:26, you read it earlier when God said, "We'll make man in my image and my likeness so that they may have dominion." And dominion is mentioned in the Bible 44 times. And the reason why that is because it's so important that we don't just focus on identity. Everybody's on like, oh, your identity in Christ and your identity in Christ. You can know who you are. And if you don't know why you're here, you'll still struggle. You'll still plateau. You'll still not discover what your purpose is. And I think it's so important that we recognize oftentimes the reason why we have issues in our lives and why we can't have the impact that we really deserve and desire is because we don't realize the dominion that we have. And so what ends up happening is that since we don't know who we are or why we're here, the very environment that we were created to dominate ends up dominating us. And, you know, the reason why that's so important is because we've been taught in church, and I'm a preacher, so I can talk bad about us if we want to, but we do such a poor job in church of empowering people to understand that we were being created in his image and his likeness means that we are made just like him. The fact that we have dominion, we were created. It says in John 14:12, I believe it is, greater works than these shall you do in my name because I'm going to the Father. One of the primary reasons that Jesus was able to die was because we were given the exact same authority that he has. So why is it that we walk around here like paupers? Why is it that we walk around here just letting life do us any kind of way that it wants us to do? Why do we go from challenge to challenge instead of glory to glory like scripture promises? Why do we have, you know, we could just go on and on and on of all of these examples. And so we have to realize that we were made to be just like God, and we were made to do exactly what it was that he said we could do. We actually have authority over every single thing in the world except other human beings. But how many of us know that? How many of us understand that? And how many of us operate in that? And that is really the first step to accomplishing anything you want to accomplish in your life, whether it's personally, spiritually, professionally, anything you're trying to accomplish, you have to know who you are and you have to know why you're here. And we are in a war right now over that level of identity, and we are in a war over truth of that authority.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking, when we have dominion over something, we also have a responsibility to it.
Yes.
It's not just we get to own it and we get to tell it what to do. We don't get to control the earth and just do whatever we want. We have a responsibility to be a part of it, to be, you know, to create a synergy with it, right?
Right. The word righteous actually means, the word righteous was actually a governmental term. And the word righteous means to be in right standing with government. And so if we think about the kingdom of God and we think about God being the one who governs this kingdom, the word righteous is not just about doing good. I don't know where we came up with this crap that Christianity is just that we're nice. You know what I mean? That's dumb. I wasn't supposed to say dumb. That's inaccurate. But the word righteous is not so much about doing right things, but it's being in right standing with God. And part of that is being the citizen that he created us to be. And the only way that we can be a citizen is in this kingdom is to recognize the identity that he gave us and the authority that he gave us.
That's amazing. I love that. So here, you know, let's say we get ourselves, we understand who we are, and we understand what we're doing. You know, I'm assuming at that point we look to God to do the next steps. You know, we know who we are, know what we're doing. What do we do next?
I think every person has to be clear on where it is that God needs them right now. And sometimes where he needs you right now is not where he needed you in a previous season. And anyone that has ever heard me be interviewed any time before, it's likely that you've heard me say that many of us don't give ourselves permission to let go of seasons that were expired. So it's one thing for us to realize who we are. It's another thing for us to recognize that we have authority. But if we're not using that influence and authority in the area that God really needs us, it can be difficult for us to get traction. And so we have to be clear. You know, I ask all the time, like, Lord, where is it that you need me now? Not where is it that you need me next? Not holding on to where it was that we were before, because sometimes God will even ask us to let go of a good thing. In 2018, when I was being called to ministry, I had to walk away from a very lucrative past. And if I would have been, and I like to say, Jason, the hardest thing to let go of is what we had in mind. And so if I held on so dearly to what it was that I had in mind and what it was that I had spent the time and the money to build, I wouldn't be where it is that he needs me now. And I wouldn't be able to have the impact that he desires for me to have. And dare I say, when I stand at the pearly gates, I would be held accountable for not doing what he clearly told me to do. And so it's not about just waiting on him to do what's next, because he's not this genie in a bottle. He's not somebody that's just going to wave his magic wand right. and just do us. You know, I think that's another inaccuracy, you know, that we have. God actually wants to co-create with us. Like, that's what it means to be in relationship. There's not any relationship that you will ever be in, whether it's on your job or in a marriage or with anyone, that it's only one person's responsibility to do everything. However, sometimes that's how many of us treat God. Like, God, you're the all-powerful one. You're the all-knowing one. You're the one that wants me to do this. So I'm just going to sit back and kind of let you lead the way. I'm just going to sit back and just pray to you and not take any, like you said earlier, responsibility for the authority that we have. And so I think that's really the first step. Like, after you realize who you are and you realize that you have authority, you need to get real clear on where it is that God needs you right now.
That is astounding. You said so much in that last few sentences that just blew my mind. I just have one question. 2028, when are you going to announce your candidacy for presidency?
Listen, this country is not ready for that.
Fair enough.
We would have to have a massive overhaul to be ready for that. We're not ready for that.
Fair enough.
But I appreciate your vote of confidence.
Anyhow. Okay. So I recently did an episode, and I don't know if you had a chance to go back and look at any of my stuff, but I did a group, Fellowship and Faith is what I call it, with some previous guests. And we did this thing on culture. And the question was how Christians are called to engage culture. And it was a great discussion. But I would love to hear your feedback on that, because you understand the culture wars, you know, you're in the thick of it. So what do you think about that?
I think that we're called to every corner of this earth. I think that if we really believe what it is that we believe, that we should be looking to uphold the traditional values that we cherish in every area. If you think about the fact that, you know, there's supposed to be seven mountains of influence, and they're business, education, media, government, business. I don't remember what all seven of them are, but we should be involved and have a voice in all aspects of the world, especially culture, because culture is so powerful. And culture also really dictates everything that happens around us. And so if we think that as faith-based voices that we're reserved to just the church, or, oh, well, we'll give ourselves permission, you know, to also be involved in business, then the world is going to continue to get further and further away from what it is that we believe in, what this country, if you live in the United States of America, was founded on, and what it is that most of us think would create some level of harmony in our lives and in our world. And so when I want to go back to what I said, we have dominion on over every single thing in this earth other than other human beings. I don't have the authority to make another human being, make them do anything. But I do go back to your word of responsibility. I do have a responsibility to make sure that I continue to put the truth in front of anywhere that the truth is not currently standing.
I completely agree. You know, and you mentioned it too with schools and stuff. I have a 14-year-old daughter. I worry about what she's receiving outside of my house. And there's nothing I can do about it as far as, you know, what she's receiving. There is stuff I can do to combat how she internalizes it and interprets it. But the world is out there. Well, it's speaking to her. And I have to, you know.
I do think that we should get involved. We should get involved in our school boards. And even if we don't have the criteria or the ambition to like run for office, that doesn't mean that our voices should not be heard at our city council meetings. It doesn't mean that as parents that we should not demand to see the curriculum, not just the title of the class, but demand to see the curriculum and really dig deeper in what is being taught outside of the description of the curriculum. Because I interviewed someone on my podcast about a month ago, and he was saying that if you only rely on just what the title of the class is or what the blurb is, you still may be deceived as to what it is that they're teaching your children. And so I do think that if more parents would ask, What are you teaching in this history class? And I'm not picking on history. I'm just using that as an example. But I do think that, especially in the world that we're in now and the things that I'm hearing, my child's almost 28, so I'm long removed from what's in a textbook. But my friends that have children that are in public schools are telling me the word problems that they're having in their math classes. And I think that every parent, especially those that are believers, you should be looking at what are they teaching your children. And if you don't agree with it, then you need to be down at that school. You need to be at the school board. You need to at least attempt to try to change what it is that they're exposed to, because you shouldn't have to work so hard once she gets home to counteract what it is that they're putting in front of her in an environment that is designed, or should be designed rather, to keep her safe and develop her.
Yeah, we see a lot of the assignments. We see a lot of the homework. We go over that together. It's the people aspect of it.
Correct.
And that's where things get a little questionable. You know, you see, and I'm just using an example, you know, a teacher that has a pride flag on their computer or something to that nature. You know, maybe it's not in their curriculum, but it's certainly in their voice.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful of that.
It is. But like you said, if you put the right things in her, the right things will come out. And one of the things that I plan to do, you talked about 2028, I do plan to, in the future, begin to create some level of curriculum for teen girls to start to learn how to use their voice early on to take a stand for what it is that you're teaching them at home. Because they need to be equipped to say, like, how do I handle it if a same-sex person approaches me and wants me to go to homecoming or be their boyfriend or girlfriend? You know, how do I approach it if, you know, they want me to come to an assembly with drag queens? How do I approach it if my teacher is, you know, is doing or saying something that is contrary to what I believe in? How do they have a voice without being disruptive? How do they have a voice without being disrespectful? How do they have a voice without causing more division?
Yes.
You know, because Christians, that righteous indignation, I have to be careful of this myself. My pastor preached today, and one of the things he talked about was having a spirit of being critical. And I know that I can be extremely critical when someone doesn't believe like I believe, or if they're doing something just outlandish, not because they don't believe like I believe. I don't think that we're ever going to find a time where everyone is going to believe the same thing. But some of the things that people believe are so outlandish that I don't understand how you can be human and believe, you know, some of these things. But if we're not careful and we don't learn how to balance truth with love, will just be at risk of creating more division. And so your daughter needs to be equipped to, how do I have these conversations to hopefully impact change, but not cause more division in the process?
Yeah.
And there's an art and a science to that.
And I look forward to that material. I really do. Because here's the thing, you know, I've gone through high school. I've gone through the awkward phases as a guy, you know, 30 years ago. I don't know what they're going through today. And I certainly don't, I can't even begin to comprehend the complexities of being a girl in this environment, in this culture, in these schools, and dealing with all of these topics. It's just beyond my comprehension.
Having a child in the school system in the world, these, I don't envy you. I do not know how I would be able to navigate these waters. Like, you know, the most that I used to have to think about was like, let's hope he doesn't get on drugs. Let's hope he doesn't get involved in a gang. And as a young Black male, let's hope he doesn't get pulled over by a police officer that wants to kill him just for the color of his skin. Yeah. Like, those things were what carried enough weight, let alone the things that you guys are dealing with now. In my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined that I also had to try to figure out how to navigate those things.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate what you're doing out there. I love all of it. Where do you think A God Shift is taking its next steps? I mean, I know you listen to God and you kind of sense it out, but you know, you must have some idea what the next few steps are going to be.
I do. And so, I've always had a calling to media for myself, but I sense that the Lord is, and I've worked with people that who had media platforms before, but I'm really sensing that I need to hone in more specifically. I even feel more confirmation as I'm saying this to you out loud right now, because it's been pen to paper and in my head, but this is the first time that I've said it out loud, is that I, you know, in the past, I've focused on women who were leading in any capacity, whether it was media, whether it was business, whether it was, you know, ministry, whatever the case may be. But I think that I really will begin to, in the, especially gearing up for this new year, begin to focus on not only how I use my influence and authority in media. You know, my podcast is in the top 3% in the world. Not real sure exactly what I did, you know, to get it there. But, you know, so I'm blessed to have media opportunities. You read in my bio, I've been interviewed over 450 times. My show is in the top 3% in the world. And so I really think that there's a unique opportunity for me to really focus on people who are in media. My specific assignment, he said, raise up an army of women. So men, I don't know if he's going to let me work with y'all or not, but for people who are in media, to really help them to increase their, gosh, I'm even getting language right now to this that I didn't have an hour ago, to really help them to increase the influence that they have in media and be able to help them, you know, figure out ways to have the courage and boldness to take a stand. Because just because we're behind this microphone does not necessarily mean that we're confident enough and courageous enough to talk against something, especially if it's not popular.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It is just, and maybe it's just taking that first few steps. Once you've done it a couple times and you see that, hey, you know what, I survived that encounter, the next one gets easier and easier. But
I used to have a teacher that they used to ask me, what's the worst that would happen? What could happen? And then you answer that and they're like, okay, and if that happens, what's the worst that could happen? And, you know, you kind of distill it down to the fact that you realize like everything's figure outable. No one's going to die. Yeah, it's gonna, you know, no dogs were harmed in the filming of this video. Right. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
That's amazing. Well, Shayna, I am thoroughly impressed with you. You know, I'm glad you're out there doing anything. We'll wrap this up, but do you have anything, any last words, anything you want to close on for the listeners?
I would say that if you're listening to this right now and you feel like all of this sounds great, but you have no idea where to start, I would recommend two things. Number one, I would recognize that you need to know that this is not about creating something new. This is not about you going out and creating a new business or creating a new platform. Although if you feel like you're being called to do those things, you can. But I would say that it's about occupying the sphere. So how do you steward what you already have in your hands? Where do you already have influence and authority? And start to ask yourself, how can I begin to weave in this whole concept of upholding Christian values? How can I weave that into where I'm already serving? How can I weave that into conversations with my family? If I have a business, how can I weave that in with what it is that I'm already doing? What can I create? Like, you know, I'm not saying go out and create something that is going to like take a lot of time or cost a lot of money, but maybe it's getting people together to have a conversation to figure out how you guys can have impact. And so I would say that that's what I would leave the audience with, is to ask yourself, how can you steward what you already have in your hands? Ask yourself, where do you have the greatest level of influence and authority, and begin there, because that's the best place to start instead of worrying about something that's way out in front of you. How can you, because guess what? None of us have time for anything new.
Yeah, right.
None of us have time for anything new. So figure out how you can kind of weave it in to where you're already at and where it is that you already have influence and authority. Because if you have one more thing that you have to add to your plate, it's probably not going to get any traction.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is such good advice. I went to my pastor once, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to get into ministry. I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to do that. And he said the same thing. He said, start wherever you are.
Yeah.
With the people that are in front of you, and just go from there. And it was the best advice I've ever had. So thank you for that.
It's so much easier to have impact there, you know, not that you can't have impact in other places, but those things can oftentimes take longer in order to really get an inroads versus just starting where you're already at, where you've already began to toil. I think they call it growing where you're planted.
Yeah. And if you're anything like me, you get a little anxious about moving forward, and you got to kind of put the brakes on and be like, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That's right.
That's one of my problems. But Shana, you're amazing. Founder of A God Shift, offering Christian leadership principles through a variety of mediums. There's going to be some great things coming from there. Again, visit her website, agodshift.com. And remember the free quiz for women believers at kingdomtrailblazerquiz.com. All of this information can be found in the show notes, along with any social media that we have. Also, if you're in the show notes, check out my links too. They're in there too. So, you know, check me out. Thank you so much for being with us, Shana. Really appreciate everything you're doing, and for you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And then for the rest of you, remember to be kind to each other. Remember to read your Bibles, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless everyone, and God bless you, Shana.
Thank you.
You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.